This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Fred, do you have any car issues or bike issues today, or were those in the past
from
earlier
up,
this
Fred?
Week? There has to be a story from today, doesn't there?
It's all been solved.
Okay,
we went there last night, picked it up.
They buffed it out.
They buffed it out. And now they're getting some sort of a special pen that you use to cover up the scratches.
What? Wait, what? That is not returning your car
it
in the original condition.
It's incredible. I have the little pen I sent off to the car dealer.
$30.
And it's like, you know, it's a paint pen.
Yeah.
And so every time you get a scar, you know, because our garage is smaller than it was previously.
Right.
So,
Joe's dinging your car is what I hear, vice versa.
Yeah. So you just take the pen, you shake it, and then you paint it over your scratches. And if nothing else, look, it's not perfect, but you won't rust.
Well, there you go, Fred.
All right. That's my weekend job.
Good luck with that, yeah. Right?
I have many pointers for you.
Oh, thank you.
So, Jane, I had a story, and I don't know if you heard what the impetus to your shopping, and by the way, I appreciate your shopping today, and you can just send that invoice to Fred. He'll take care of
oh,
that
sure,
and make
yeah.
sure that you're reimbursed. But no, there was a really interesting story, this goes back a couple of weeks ago, about this effort to combine, which has now come to fruition, Oreo cookies with Reese's. And what they said is it was like the Manhattan Project of snacks, because both companies, two different companies here, wanted to make sure that the secrets to the recipes were, you know, kept secret. But
yeah.
Then there were challenges with the ingredients, and there were food scientists and executives that had to meet in secret. They spoke in code. They kept it in a very, very tight circle. And then they finally got something that might work. And I didn't know when I talked about this story, I think on Tuesday or Wednesday, I was unaware that the Oreos had made their way to the shelves in St. Louis. And in fact, they have. And there are a couple of different new varieties. And you've brought us a little bit of a variety pack to sample this afternoon, right?
Well, because, yeah, once you send me to go get the Oreos.
Yes.
I mean, did you really think I was going to stop at one flavor?
No, thank you for not doing that. Yeah.
So I got, okay, so we have the peanut butter ones, which is presumably the
Reese's.
Does
it say that it's the partnership, or is it just peanut butter ones?
It just says peanut butter flavor cream.
But
okay.
it doesn't say Reese's on it?
No. Yeah.
Okay, so that's weird to me.
I think we have a pre-Reese's maybe.
Maybe. We'll have to determine whether this actually lives up to that.
Yeah, because that's confusing to me. Let me see if they have the packaging on
I
here.
I mean, I don't
Can
know
Can you hand me
you.
One of those packages and like,
yeah,
just have
here,
me peruse it?
Peanut yep. butter.
Here you go.
Then the other one we have.
What's the point of Reese's getting involved if they're not going to do that?
Maybe, I don't know. That's a good question. Because
yeah,
then we have another one.
Uh-huh.
So then we have the Toffee Crunch.
Oh,
flavor
I didn't know
cream.
That existed.
Okay, and it's got, you know, sugar crystals. Well, I mean, that sort of reminds me of a Heath bar. Is that like, you know, is
oh,
this
yeah.
like the
yeah.
Heath, is this the Heath bar?
Yeah, I think it is.
And so
I should probably start grabbing cookies, right?
Which I support.
Okay.
And then finally,
which you support.
You got to send me that first one back because I didn't grab
yeah.
one of the.
Finally, we have the apple pie a la mode. Not just apple pie, but apple pie a la mode. And this is the golden variety. So
I love the Goldens.
And yeah. I love the Goldens, too.
Yeah,
we were,
Goldens
we were talking
are not
about the Goldens
bad. I'm new to the Goldens, but I'm starting to embrace.
Man, I'll get into a craving
yeah,
for the Goldens, and I'll just have like 10 of them at the same time.
All right, that's I'm doing apple do. Pie first. Are we doing tasting now?
Yeah, yeah. Let's try
yeah.
it.
Now, no, so here's the deal. I'm just going to tell you right now, and maybe because I'm looking at some packaging, and it says that the Reese's Oreos, they will say Reese's on them. And they're going to be in the stores starting in September. So I know some listeners sent me messages saying that they were available, but this is
different.
I wonder
if they were seeing the peanut
fakes.
Butter.
Yeah,
but,
well, yeah, they were, but it's different than the Reese's. The Reese's ones are still to come. So.
This will allow you to see what a normal peanut butter is versus a Reese's.
That's true, because
so,
they are different.
Yes.
I agree.
All right, hang on. I'm getting some conflicting information.
Even I'm trying an apple pie. That's
the apple
good.
Pie is really good,
yeah.
guys. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is...
Oh, that is good.
Uh-huh. Hmm. This is right near the Apple Jacks.
I can taste the a la mode.
I know. They really nailed it.
Problem is I can't talk because I'm chewing so much here. Mm-hmm. You guys
so what
talk.
Did you think, Fred, of the apple pie?
I thought it was good. I'm holding back, though, until I try the other two.
I love
okay,
the apple
that's
pie.
Fair.
All right, plums up on the apple pie. All right, now, look.
Thumbs
I'm just going to tell you right now,
yes?
because this is happening as we speak, that There's conflicting information coming in. I'm told that the Dierbergs and De Pere actually has the ones that say Oreo with Reese's. I'm told by another friend.
I've not seen those.
My friend Chuck says that's not the Reese's, the one that you have, which is pretty clear. He says that he talked to the cookie stalker at Schnucks, and who doesn't? Let's face it, right?
I mean, we're on a first-name basis. What are you talking about?
So I guess maybe it's just Dierbergs that has them right now, so these will be kind of like the fake peanut butter.
No, I got these at Dierbergs, the painted butter.
But you didn't see which Dierbergs?
The Dierbergs, probably McKenzie?
Okay. I don't know.
Well, that's not, maybe De Pere is so fancy that they got
De Pere is fancy.
They are fancy, right? It costs twice as much as
this has
any
to be
other
the
ones.
Toffee crunch.
All right, so should I taste the coffee?
Yeah.
Toffee?
Oh.
Not the coffee, the toffee.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I like it.
Fred, what do you think?
It tastes like full-on Heath bar, but it's good.
I don't know about that one.
The toffee is second right behind the apple.
Okay.
I like the apple one.
Yeah,
best so far.
I agree so far.
Toffee.
Yeah.
Oh, here's David Klein, producer emeritus, that is weighing in. Jane has the imposter flavor. I've had the real one. It actually says Reese's peanut butter on the packaging, which, we thought that it would.
So Dave
Jane, this is a fail. I'm just saying, you usually can step up your game in moments like this.
Wait a minute.
I'm on your side, Jane.
Thank you. Hold it.
Both of us are.
And what? Dave Klein's going to start big-timing me on Air Oreos?
Apparently.
I mean, really?
Apparently
he
is.
That's my lane. Jane Lane, junk food. That's my lane.
100%.
Yes, and no one can occupy it.
Well, that's why we tasked you with this. Mm-hmm. All right, but I can try this one with peanut butter, but it's...
But no, but think of it as a comparison.
Right.
So you're going to... This is your test thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see how that compares to the actual Reese's.
Okay, but I like that one.
Are we going with
peanut butter.
Tried the peanut butter?
My favorite, though, is the apple.
Because it's... Awesome.
The one with the golden. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Oh, Jane, what are your thoughts?
Okay, my ranking, the final ranking is apple pie, peanut butter, toffee.
I'm going to go with that, too. Fred, do you differ on that? You like the toffee. You kind of like the toffee one.
Apple butter or apple pie?
Apple pie a la mode.
A
la mode. Peanut butter, toffee.
Now, the one I didn't get, which I now have found on Amazon, is the blueberry pie. Oreo.
Yeah, that sounds good, too.
Dierbergs was out, so I'm going to have to go to Amazon.
And then there's the Selena Gomez ones, right?
Those are at Target.
And Walmart,
yeah.
I just feel like, I did see them at Walmart this morning. I feel like I need to have, I didn't know there was a specific cookie stalker. It makes sense. But I feel like I need that person on speed dial. Like, I need to program that person into my phone and find out who they are at the stores where I shop, because that's a very important person. Wouldn't you say, Jane, the cookie stalker at any given store?
Need I say love of my life?
Yeah. I like that. All right. Well, so we'll see. How about next Friday? We'll see if we can get some of the authentics.
But
don't get rid of the regular peanut butter ones. Here, this will be interesting.
Good.
We should do a blind test on those.
Right.
Now, they may look a little different.
Oh, now see,
you know what?
Now you're thinking.
Get Dave Klein's booty in here.
Klein.
Klein.
Uh-huh. You
to
sit
do
out
the
there,
blind test.
Bitch about the show when you're not even a part of it anymore, right?
And we miss you anyway.
We do.
Yeah, we can put aside some of these and we'll try them with the real.
I agree.
Uh-huh.
All right. So that's a goal
for
next week.
We don't take this sitting down.
Excellent. There's a plan. This is, we should be running government.
I mean,
this,
it's clear.
This four people in here, we've made decisions that are crack decisions,
serious.
Not indecisive. Our rankings have been very similar. I think we can take on bigger challenges. One of those challenges might be Sue's News for a Friday, and that's coming up next. You know, I will say this on the cookie front, and I don't know if there's any visual cues that you can pick up, Sue, but in the course of everything that I experienced this summer, I probably dropped about 13 pounds that I did not need to drop, right?
That so is 100%.
I was down to like 155, 156, and I have convinced myself, in order to gain weight back, that the primary way to do that would be to eat as many damn cookies as I possibly can. And let me tell you something. I've been working at that really hard. And the Applejack,
There's nobody
Pop-Tarts.
Judging you here.
No,
I know.
People.
But I do feel the only thing is that, you're kind of supposed to eat protein, too, right? The amount of protein, it's kind of like my bunny. They say the bunny should eat 80% hay in the diet. My bunny, Oreo, eats, 10% hay, and then he eats bananas and all these treats and stuff like that. I'm eating probably 95% sugar right now and, maybe 5% protein.
Exactly.
But how do you do that with an Oreo cookie that tastes like an apple pie? What do you do there?
You have that for dessert after your protein.
After you have, two chicken breasts.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. I will try that. But I am. See, you get to this point though. Like I'm a little worried. I haven't weighed myself recently, but I can tell just in the clothes, right? And sometimes you overdo it. You think, oh, I can eat whatever I want to because I want to get back to this particular weight. So I think I might have to slow down.
Rarely, if ever, do I
just
think
a little.
We're all right. Old people now.
Yeah, I know.
Possible.
I know. All right, let's do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to find out what day it is today. What national day it is today. Okay, Google.
Should I look that up? You want me to do it?
What national day is it? Yeah, because usually I start with that, and I didn't get much sleep last night. Okay, it is Lemon Juice Day. Huh?
Oh, boy.
National Lemon Juice Day.
That is right. And, oh, you know what? We've got this up. We got a new fridge in the move, and here's what the deal is. There is a little, what do I call it? Just a pitcher that fits in the door. Mm-hmm. And what they've done is put a little plastic thing in there that allows you to make spa water. So you cut up lemons and put it in there, and then you can have lemon water, and it auto-fills it. It's like the best thing ever. Fred.
Oh, yeah, but I've never seen it.
It's so
That's
great.
That's fancy.
It
What's
is,
the
but,
brand?
Samsung.
Okay.
It's
like
bespoke.
That.
Anyway, National Lemon Juice Day, National Chop Suey Day, National Sport Sampling Day. Say bye-bye.
What is that?
Try a little of this sport, a little of that. I don't know.
That's me every night.
I do that. Yeah, ESPN. That's, yeah.
Yeah, well,
called
then,
ESPN, right.
Now you're legit. Okay.
You missed one.
What is the
And
other
I had
one?
To look it up.
Because I didn't know what it was.
Okay, well, I looked it up.
Oh, of course.
Do you want to tell people what it is?
It's National Hoyle Day.
Hoyle Day,
what
right?
What is that?
What the hell is that?
Is that like
okay.
rules?
No, you'll like this. Yes, yes, yes. So this is an unofficial holiday celebrated annually on this day to honor Edmund Hoyle. He's an Englishman who became the first technical writer on card and board games. And he died on this day in 1769.
His name, playing cards.
Yeah, his name has become synonymous with the phrase, according to Hoyle, meaning by the rules or following the accepted standards. People observe
That's
the day
awesome.
By playing games, discussing rules, or simply acknowledging the authoritative use of the phrase. So there you go.
Have
we know
you
a little bit about Edmund Hoyle. I don't think I've remembered that
phrase.
One. No.
Yeah,
no.
I have.
You have?
Oh, yeah. Is
no.
that
yeah.
according to Hoyle?
I have not heard that.
Yeah. Wow.
If I have, I've been confused by it.
I just knew his name was on the cards.
Oh, that's interesting. I respect the technical writers. If you could take all that blah, 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 and make it into something that people can follow, it's pretty impressive. Okay, on this day in history, 28 years ago, it's 1997, Netflix was founded. Back when it was just a DVD rental service, they didn't start streaming until what year, Mark Reardon?
2010.
Good guess, but no. Fred?
2013.
Jane?
2014.
2007.
Oh, wow.
Okay, pretty good.
I did Netflix when they were DVDs.
Yeah,
same.
We all did.
Yeah.
So that was pretty wild.
And I had either the two or three at one time deal.
Well, you're fancy.
Yeah.
I only had the one. And then, remember when for a while they were getting stolen? Maybe that was only a city thing. But they had problems with people stealing them. They'd put them in the mailbox or right on your house to get returned, and people would come by and swipe them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and I don't remember what happened like 3 hours ago, so this is easy for me to say. But I think
point.
If you go back to 2007, and we were having this conversation about Netflix and what Netflix is trying to become, there were a lot of questions about whether or not that was going to be a deal that worked.
Agreed. Yes. You know, they get damaged in the mail. I mean, could you even do that now? The mail doesn't even get delivered half the
time.
Well,
that's just it. And you talk about porch pirates. And that was the thing. The envelopes that they used said Netflix.
Yes.
So everyone said, oh, steal me.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
We don't even have a DVD player anymore.
I do just in case. And I've got pictures on DVDs.
I do in the upstairs. And here's where it has become somewhat helpful. When we've had, this is terrible, now I have AT&T fiber, but when Spectrum has gone down, the multitude of times that they've gone down, we've had, and this is really hashtag white people problems, there's no doubt, we've had to resort to watching a DVD on television.
When you're desperate.
Yes, when there's no streaming services available.
I did notice today, and others may have noticed this as well, on this day in history 20 years ago was when Hurricane Katrina hit the golf course. A golf course?
Hit the
Gulf Coast.
There you go.
And I can't believe it's 20 years. To me, it seems like 50 years and 5 years, like all at the same time. But this killed at least 1,400 people. It flooded New Orleans after the levees broke. Remember, the mayor ordered that evacuation less than 24 hours before it was going to hit. 80% of the people got out, but then the remaining 100,000 to 150 were really
it was
hit.
Bad.
It was really bad. The Superdome, remember, we'd see all those news shots from everybody sheltering in the Superdome. Yeah. And the disaster cost $125 billion. With a B, dollars.
So there are, and Paul Hall's going to join us here at the bottom of the hour, there are competing documentaries on this.
On
one
Katrina.
Of them is by Spike Lee. Which,
that's the Netflix one, right?
Yeah, I think so. And then there's one on Hulu as well. But we'll find, I love Spike Lee, but we'll see where his pointed view on this one goes to. But obviously, it's a terrible, terrible story. I can't believe it was that long ago. I really can't.
Brutal.
Well,
I adopted my, and we lost him like 3 years ago, but my big Maine Coon mix, Dave, he was a Hurricane Katrina rescue. There was a group here.
That's really nice.
Nancy Lupia. I don't even know if Nancy's still around. Felines Forever was her group. I was at Petropolis out in Chesterfield Mall. I was doing an appearance that day and, you know, an adoption event. And this cat, big cat, because they're big Maine Coons, even though he was a mix. It was a real hot day, and I just looked at him. We had one cat at the time. I'm like, I'm bringing this cat home. And I did. I kind of went rogue on Becky. I'm like, I brought this big cat home, and he was just amazing. We used to have to shave him because, you know, his hair, the Maine Coon's hair, gets so long and gets knotted up. But, man, that was my connection with Hurricane Katrina. But I do want to watch the documentaries, even though they'll be extremely sad.
Did you name him Dave, or did he come to you
as
Dave?
No, we named him Dave.
Because I respect that.
Yeah,
I like
Becky,
that name.
Becky named him Dave. I like human names with animals sometimes.
I do too.
Thank you. And he fit that for sure.
Yeah. All right, prepare to be annoyed. The folks at Dictionary.com have announced they've added more than 1,200 new words and terms so far this year. And they've highlighted a few you may or may not know. Now, some of these are kind of interesting. Should they be on Dictionary.com? I don't know. Coffee badging. This is a term that means being at work just long enough to have coffee or swipe your badge to clock in, then you split and go home for the rest
apparently,
of the day.
Apparently, that was this entire office today because there's nobody here.
Seriously.
I came this morning and tried to park, and there wasn't a spot. I came this afternoon, no problem.
Yep.
Number two, congestion pricing. New York did it this year, reducing excessive traffic by charging motorists a fee to drive the private vehicle. Super annoying. And should that be at dictionary.com?
Yeah. No.
Number three, sane wash. To misrepresent something as sensible or acceptable, even though it's completely insane. Sane
wash.
Okay,
that's not a separate word than like gaslighting.
Right. And they have it all one word.
And it's more victimhood.
Like brainwash?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Sane wash.
Both sidism, which is self-evident. But why dictionary.com?
You don't need that.
No. The practice or habit of representing opposing arguments as equally strong or valid, whatever.
We don't do that here, let me tell you. There's no both-sidism. There's one-sidism on this show.
All right. In space news, SpaceX broke its streak of mid-flight explosions this week with their massive Starship launch.
That's a good one to break.
Yeah, that's a win.
Yeah. It splashed down in the Indian Ocean on Tuesday. They had three straight launches where it just blew up mid-air, and two of them caused pieces of the stuff to rain down over the Caribbean, but nobody was injured. They were smarter about that. And they say in science news, you should take time to stop and smell the roses. A study found the smell can boost the amount of gray matter in your brain and literally make it bigger. They tested it by having people wearing rose-scented perfume, which, by the way, I'd rather smell a real rose.
I was going to say, it's just roses. It's not just flowers. Not
just roses.
Okay, good to know.
And a British researcher says he thinks he's figured out what's going on in the Bermuda Triangle, which, of course, no one wants to know. They want it to be mysterious. But he said, there's nothing mystical here. So he's my hero.
Can I take a swipe at it?
Yes, what are your thoughts?
Because we just went to Bermuda, so that's why.
Ooh.
So my understanding was, is it underground volcanoes?
Oh, interesting. That was not his answer, but it may be involved.
Supposedly there's underground volcanoes, and when they erupt or when things happen, that's when a ship could be, you know, a boat or whatever could be coming through, and it's almost like a burp because air, and it creates an air bubble.
And it goes,
And that's and if your boat is nearby,
it does.
That's what I heard.
Now, his answer was, and maybe it's related, they say 100-foot-tall rogue waves are really common there, and perhaps that's the reason.
But, yeah, because the volcanoes burp. And the air, So, I mean, maybe.
There was a period of time, and I don't remember when it was. I believe it was the 80s, maybe the 70s. You were always talking about the Bermuda Triangle. The first reference I've heard to the Bermuda Triangle in maybe two decades was just right now.
I know.
And you know, cruise ships won't go through them.
Really?
Yeah. They go around.
Oh, that's interesting. Because they don't want to, or because they just want to freak out the passengers.
It's probably both.
Probably both. Yeah. All right. Someone asked ChatGPT to pick the catchiest songs of the last 50 years. I'm going to give you the top three. Picked by ChatGPT. Number three is Michael Jackson with this song.
Pretty catchy, I would say, right?
Totally catchy.
Yeah, I agree. She was more like
Beauty Queen from a movie scene. Billie Jean.
All right, there's one of them.
All right, number two, these are ChatGPT picking the catchiest songs of the last 50 years. ABBA. Dancing Queen.
It's hard to argue about this one.
You can't argue this one.
Yeah. That was when I first, you know, I try to introduce my daughter to a lot of music. She's to the age now where she's too cool to really think that she is paying attention and can acknowledge it. But when I took her to Mamma Mia, I gave her some ABBA education, and she instantly loved the songs because the melodies are so good.
Catchy.
Right, exactly.
And as we run out of time, I got to do number one. This is the catchiest song, according to ChatGPT, of the last 50 years. I kid you not.
Oh, it, I mean, kind of fits, right? Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man. Yes, and if you were looking at the video stream of the studio, you would see Jane and Sue doing the YMCA dance. Fred and I have resisted the urge here this afternoon, but there you go. I don't know that I can challenge these songs, but there's a lot of catchy songs out there, right?
Yeah. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Red Solo cups are popular souvenirs for European tourists in America to take home after they visit here.
That's kind of sad. What? Paul Hall from Common Guy Films is going to make some recommendations when it comes to films and streaming shows. We were just talking about this one, Come Hell and High Water, the Katrina documentary on Netflix.
Before the storm came, me and my cousin, we ride our bikes through the Treme area. It never crossed my mind that would be my last bike ride in my community.
Hurricane Katrina is now a Category 5 storm.
They've built the levee system now to withstand a Category 3.
Good afternoon, Paul Hall. How are you? Have you seen that documentary yet?
I tell you, these are hard to watch. Katrina, that one is a three-parter on Netflix. There's another Katrina doc over on Hulu. They're all so touching, so heartbreaking, and yet they expose that period of time where just something happened that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like when I'm popping around Netflix and trying to figure out what to watch, these are tough choices because of the topic and because it's so sad. And, you know, I think we do need to be reminded that was so long ago of the immense, you know, devastation that was, you know, put upon the people of New Orleans. And then obviously there's the politics involved. There's the number of deaths is just staggering when you think about it.
And you forget like 1,400 people. Like that's just, ugh. We just cannot repeat that.
So what Spike's movie like though?
Because it's in three pieces. Sometimes you get a little too much, and I think spreading it apart in three pieces gives you a little bit of a reprieve if you want to stop in the middle of it. And this is where it's going to get you closer, I guess, than ever to certain people. It will have a devastating effect of getting you into the situation. I feel like you're in there with people, and that can either be good or bad, depending on how you react to that type of thing. I like it from that standpoint, at least from a remembrance standpoint, not from a enjoy it, but I like the way it gets you close to the situation.
And I'm sorry, did you say you'd also seen the one on Hulu too or not, Paul?
I have not went through the one on Hulu. That one's been out for a couple weeks now. When you do the competing ones, sometimes one is good, one is bad. So I can't honestly tell you which one's good, which one's bad, or if they're both good or both bad.
Since we're talking about documentaries, I just want to mention, I did wrap up last night. I wrapped up The Yogurt Shop Murders, which was on Max. It's in four parts. This is another one that could have been in two parts or just one movie. And it really is less, and I've said this before, it is less about the crimes that took place. This is four young girls that were brutally murdered and raped in Austin, Texas, 1991, yeah. At an I Can't Believe It's Yogurt Shop. But, you know, the crime has really gone unsolved because the guys who pleaded guilty and confessed didn't do it, because this is a movie that focuses on false confessions and the psychology of false confessions. And it's fascinating from that standpoint, but there's not a big payoff in the end on this, because there's not a big reveal of who done it. And the four episodes is too long. So I don't know that I can recommend that one, but I did get through it. This is one that's getting a lot of attention. Every time I turn Netflix on, it's K-pop Demon Hunters.
It's time. The world will know you as pop stars. But you will be much more than that. You will be hunters.
Okay, so this was a theatrical release for just one week, or
wow.
Is it still out there? Because it's on Netflix this weekend, right?
Okay, so here's how I got to break this one down for you on how this came out. K-pop Demon Hunters came to Netflix first. Then last weekend, for one weekend only, they released it in theaters on Saturday and Sunday and became the number one movie in the country in theaters. That was a sing-along version.
Okay.
I had got along to see that afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, with my daughter. And as I'm getting in the car on the way from the theater, I got the release from Netflix saying that as of midnight tonight, the sing-along version as well is on Netflix. So I think it's two of the top three movies on Netflix right now are K-pop Demon Hunters, K-pop Demon Hunters Sing Along. And you know what? As much as I didn't want to see this, it's not a bad movie.
Really?
It's a lot of fun throughout. K-pop, for those of you who don't know, is one of those things that's just huge right now. And these groups are selling out stadiums.
Yeah,
I mean,
huge.
The things that, you know, the U2s, the Stones of the world would sell out only. Now groups like Stray Kids and some of the others, Blackpink and the like, are selling out stadiums, and they're going on like a 10-city U.S. tour and just...
Yeah, not like, just arenas, to your point. They like Allegiant Stadium, I think, had filled up for a couple of these shows. So then how does that differ? And I should know this, you know, these musical definitions. There is something also on Apple TV Plus that's called K-popped. So
yeah.
how is that related to K?
Yeah,
explain
the difference here.
Over on Apple TV Plus, they launched K-pop. Now, this is one of those things. K-pop Demon Hunters is an animated film, and it goes on for, you know, an hour and a half. K-pop is a series with the stars being the hosts, I guess you could say, being Psy, of course, Gangnam Style Psy, and Megan Thee Stallion. And these K-pop groups take on some of the artists that you may know and love. Even including people like, say, the Spice Girls, or what they call the Spice Girls. It's two of them who join one of the popular K-pop groups Twice, and they try to K-pop the Spice Girls' music. So basically add a little bit of a lot more beat, a lot more flash, a lot more choreography. And you got two of the Spice Girls along to redo their songs with these K-pop groups. So for K-pop fans, this is like Christmas morning.
Yeah, I'm out. You haven't grabbed me at all. Now I know what to skip on Apple TV Plus, and I like a lot of their programming, but this one doesn't do it for me, I don't think. I want to watch. We're going to talk to Tim Sommer in the next hour about music. We never, ever have enough time to cover all the topics, but on the top of my list, well, I still haven't finished part two of the Billy Joel doc, but I really want to watch the Devo doc. I know you mentioned that last week.
I do too.
Week,
yeah. On my list.
That's at the top of my list. I'm going to try to do that one this weekend.
Definitely have to check that out. It's very interesting to see the origins of Devo and how it came to pass to where it is today. I mean, everybody knows it for Whip It, but there was so much more to that than meets the eye.
And they were new. They were different. They did change things. And so, I give them credit. I do.
Yes. Let's give you another documentary. There's one I saw that's going to break your heart. Over on Netflix, they just launched today, Unknown Number, The High School Catfish.
Yeah, that's on my list. Oh,
this will break your heart.
Oh,
it's
brutal.
Creepy. The text messages they use in this are, as they tell you in the beginning, they are all actual text messages. So imagine if you are, Will, you're a 14 or 15-year-old boy or girl getting some of these messages when the film comes about. I'm not going to talk much about them here because I think you have to see them, experiencing them, and kind of they do, in this case, give you the answers as far as who was responsible, what happened, how it came about. And you may hate it. You may hate some people. You may love some people. I don't know. But before this is over, you'll make sure your kids are safe from text messages.
Explain a little bit of the concept of what catfish is. And then in this particular situation, this is a story about a mother who actually did this to her own daughter, right?
This is a story from Michigan. This was a young girl. She was dating a young boy, and they both started getting these absolutely vile and disgusting messages that came to their phones. Now, they were in a small community where everybody knows everybody. They had a kindergarten through 12th grade all in one school. So this is a small group of people. And when all of a sudden things start coming in with an unknown number, and they start saying things that you wouldn't want to share with your husband or wife in your 50s, you go, what the heck? And they get to the bottom of it, dealing with the police, dealing with the messages, and they deal with everything straightforward in this. I like it because it gives you the whole story in an hour and a half. You will be done by the time you're over, and it will beat you up for an hour and a half as you're seeing these messages come at you. I feel for this family.
Wow.
I feel for this young woman. And you can't believe how evil sometimes people can be to one another.
In their own family. Not to spoil too much, but that is stunning. Anything else you want to mention, streaming or otherwise, as we head into the weekend, Paul?
You know, it's going to be a weird weekend at the theaters. It seems like nobody's going. There's Caught Stealing in theaters. I didn't get a chance to see that yet with Austin Butler. I've heard early reports that there's not a lot of people heading out to the theater to see that. Buyer beware. Also, a remake of War of the Roses called The Roses is out there in theaters this weekend.
What?
Oh, come on.
That's interesting.
Kind of another take on that. So obviously, they didn't show that to me either. So you take it at your own risk, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of crowd
there's
out there.
There's enough out there I can watch.
Yes.
We're not talking about it right now. So, as far as the marketing and everything. And I really love, if you want to spend some time at Prime Video, The Terminal List is back. Dark Wolf is a prequel to The Terminal List, which I think we all agreed on a couple years ago that this was really one of the cooler series. It was very well done. It was the story that told the story of, now I'm drawing a blank on his name, James Reese. This is what happened before. This is the battle before the battle when he came back home and tried to get through things. That was Chris Pratt in that lead role. He comes back for at least the first episode here. We're releasing, it seems like an episode a week for the next couple weeks. I've seen about half the series. I can tell you it's pretty intense, and that first episode should grab you and get you into it.
I've wrapped up a bunch of shows recently. I think I talked about this last week, maybe the week before, Jane. Shows that I, for whatever reason, just didn't go in on season two, but I know that season three or season four, in one case, is coming up. So I finished all of Slow Horses.
Oh, cool.
And I ended up liking it.
When the
season started, the last season, I wasn't into it very much, but I did finish that. And I finished The Diplomat. Season two of The Diplomat. I never went back to it. I watched it. That's with Kerry Russell. It had a good ending. I'll tell you what. Good suspenseful ending. And I think season three of The Diplomat comes out in just a couple of weeks. Paul, tell folks where they can find your review. Sorry, I didn't want to limit it to one review, right? Next weekend.
You never know what's up there. I put all kinds of weird stuff up there sometimes.
Next week, Friday night, there's pretty entertaining stuff on live. I don't know if you know about that. The Kansas City Chiefs blowing out your Chargers.
Ouch.
Friday.
You're just being hurt
from Brazil.
Well,
right?
You're just happy your guy got engaged. You know, I know the truth. You're just a big
Swiftie
at heart.
I am a Swiftie.
I do like her. Paul, we'll talk next week. Thank you.
Take care, bud.
Hey, Jane, we talked about it on the roundtable, and it did happen in the 4 o'clock hour. Governor Kehoe did call the special session for legislatures. I think they have to report next Wednesday.
Correct.
So we'll certainly keep you posted on that. Frank Cusimano's here from KSDK as we talk a little sports on a Friday afternoon. I was thrilled with the opener last night with Mizzou. And sure, it was Central Arkansas, Frank, but the offense had some rhythm to it. The worst part, of course, is Sam Horn getting hurt on the first damn play that he's in. But I'll tell you, that Pribula looked like the real deal. It's hard because you don't have SEC caliber or Big 12 caliber athletes on the other side of the ball. But wow, you couldn't get off to a better start, I don't think, Frank.
No, you can't. In fact, Mark, you're probably old enough to remember Brad Smith's Mizzou debut at Dome against Illinois, where he just lit up the city and he turned around Gary Pinkel's coaching career. They knew at that moment they had something special. And I think every Mizzou fan is thinking right now, oh my goodness, this guy's a stallion and he throws the ball well too. I mean, when you account for four touchdowns and over 350 total yards, I don't care if it's against Central Arkansas or Arkansas, this guy has athleticism. There's a reason he was once highly touted and recruited by one of the great, you know, football schools in the country in Penn State.
He looked like he had composure. And then you got to talk about Kevin Coleman, because he's a great story here as well. That was the guy that was kind of a rival to Luther and decided to go to Ole Miss instead of Mizzou, but now he's transferred in the portal to Mizzou, right? Or was it Mississippi State, one of those?
He came from Mississippi State. I think he was top five in receptions in the SEC last season. We've been covering him since he was like 15 years old at St. Mary's. Wow. Unbelievable student, plays a musical instrument. Everybody that knows him loves him. He's so respectful. And in fact, last night at midnight, I'm friends with a guy who kind of takes good care of him down there. They're FaceTiming me, you know, just, hey, what'd you think of the game? And Kevin is just the most gracious, nicest kid ever. And I'm not saying he's Luther at the next level, but he can give you, you know, a semblance of Luther Burden and be as effective on the collegiate level, I believe.
Are you hearing anything about the Sam Horn injury today? And maybe the more, you know, I hate to say this, the more impactful injury at this point, because it's pretty clear it's going to be Pribula, is that this Blake Craig kid, the kicker, who is very good, was also injured last night.
Yeah, it's a good way of phrasing it, Mark. You know, you think, well, boy, you lost Sam Horn, but actually losing the kicker, Blake Craig, who had a 49-yarder and a 55-yarder and has this electric leg, that's going to be a blow. They have a freshman behind him that they're high on, but that's a blow. So with Sam, Coach Drink was on some type of SEC media conference call today, and he said, you know, we still don't know. But, you know, I'd be shocked to see him back in the near future.
I just feel so bad for the kid. Now, I was sort of in the Pribula camp, you know, just because I was. And then after seeing him last night, I definitely am. But you want to have a solid backup and you want to use Horn for a Wildcat or something along the lines. And you want to have someone that you can have confidence in. So that just sucks, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a shame because, you know, he missed last year because of the Tommy John surgery. He lost the year before, he lost the quarterback battle to Brady Cook. And on the very first play of his last season in college football, you know, it was just brutal to see.
Yeah.
Let's shift to baseball here. What's left of the St. Louis Cardinals starting lineup will be in Cincinnati tonight, correct?
Yeah, they've brought up a couple of young, really nice careers in the minor leagues. Jimmy Crooks, the catcher, it hits left-handed, he has power, and he's pretty good defensively. And then Cesar Prieto is also a really productive offensive player, a middle infielder that hits left-handed. So I'm anxious to see these two. We're going to miss Alec Burleson, who's been outstanding, but they have some catchers in their minor league system who are quite good.
All right, what's coming up on Sports Plus on Sunday night?
Okay, we're going to talk with Curtis Francois. We get ready for the Enjoy Illinois 300. I sat down with one of the greatest golfers of all time, Gary Player.
Awesome.
It was one of my favorite interviews of all time. The guy's the best. Bruce's grandson came to St. Louis this week, and Babe has a really strong relationship or connection to St. Louis. A week before he died, he went to Sportsman's Park, and he did a thing for the kids. And one of the kids he shook hands with and gave a bat to was Bill DeWitt Jr. So Bill DeWitt's a part of the story, too. It's kind of a cool story.
Awesome. Well, listen, have a great weekend. By the way, I don't know, Sue, because you're a tennis fan, I've been watching a little U.S. Open, which has been really, really entertaining.
Yes.
There was a match
and
that
drama.
Went, man, there was a match that went till like 12:46 last night, Central Time. So a lot of good U.S. Open action as well. We will not talk to you on Monday afternoon. Enjoy your holiday weekend, Frank, and maybe we'll get you on Tuesday, okay? Well, I think he left us already.
I think he said yes.
Yeah, I think either I hung up on him, he's gone. I didn't hear the magic bloop, but he is gone. All right, Jane, you know, one of the things that we didn't talk about, and I could have brought that up in this segment, is the Gateway Cup is this weekend.
Yes.
And I used to really go to a lot of these races when I used to ride a bike more. But tonight in Lafayette Square, that is a magical evening. With weather like this, mm-hmm. you can see all kinds of levels,
yeah.
including pro women and men cycling. They go through the weekend. My second favorite, because I think they're in Francis Park tomorrow.
Yeah.
They changed Mondays. They used to do... They moved it to North County, I think. But anyway, Sunday is the hill.
Yeah, Sunday's the hill.
You live right down there now. It's
yes.
so much fun. I think I'm going to bring my daughter and the puppy down
Absolutely.
To watch some cycling.
And I'll feed you.
That's even better.
I feed everyone who comes to my home. So
that's
yes.
a win-win. We yes. will see you next Friday afternoon. Actually, I'll see you on Sunday.
Awesome.
All right, take care. We got Michael Steinberg, who has done a lot of developing out in Chesterfield, including with the great music venue, The Factory. But also, you know, he's involved in what is going to become downtown Chesterfield. They took down Chesterfield Mall. There's plans for a rebirth. We're going to talk to him about that. We'll talk a little music. We'll also talk music with our friend Tim Summer in the next hour. And also, I found out that he lived in New Orleans during Katrina. So that's going to be one of the topics as well. It's all coming up. Plus, an audio cut of the day.